到嘅时候，我就听唔到 Aaron Good 嗰个 Grapes of Red 嘅 podcast 咯，搞到我好懵，但系冇办法啦，冇办法嘅时候，咁我就我又唔听啦。下一次如果我搞到人哋可以整好我电脑嘅时候，我就会有机会听噶啦。好啊，咁就咁啦。
Perfect.
This is the Grapes of Rad, show number 30, barely.
Take like 9.
Hanging on.
Oh, God.
Hanging on by our fingernails.
We're like the hang in there cat.
We are recording this show Saturday morning instead of Friday night.
That's right.
Because we did it Friday night, and we weren't so sure about it.
Weren't so sure.
It happens from time to time. But we're here again because this is important.
It is.
This means something.
It's
like the sculpture in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the guy's like, he can't stop working on it even though he doesn't know what it means. His wife walks into the room and she's like, What are you doing?
I'm Richard Dreyfuss. I am going to be in Mr. Holland's Opus. I was in Jaws.
Show number 30, dude.
It is. It's a big birthday. Very excited about that. Lots of stuff planned for 30. Here's the deal with this episode. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to break it down so much that I'm going to stop the music. And I'm going to talk to you one-on-one.
Did it just go
2-1-1? It probably just faded out. Oh, it's okay. Way easier. So, Ben, as you in the Twitterverse know, Ben's dad fell at work.
Yeah.
And hurt himself pretty bad. Like, he got his hip replaced and broke his leg and smashed up his hand and all that stuff. So, Ben is up here in between hanging out with his dad at the hospital in Olympia. So there may be a slightly more serious tone. Maybe more mellow would be the way to go. But we're really into, when we say on the show that we love to hear from you, be it voicemails or Twitter or messages or comment, like whatever, we really mean it, because we're way more into not just this show and putting on a show, but like really developing some sort of a community or relationship with you guys, and that's really what we're after. And if we can be funny while we're doing it, like, great, because that's more fun than two mopey dudes sitting around. But it's,
which is our other podcast,
which is sadfaces.com.
The raisins of sad.
But the prunes of despair. That's our emo show. But all that to say, we have some great voicemails this week. We have a lot of, like, for me anyway, like video Prozacs and like kind of stuff that I saw this week, and that tends to be the bulk of what I have this week.
It's good to have a lot of different video Prozacs, because from personal experience, I can say this truthfully, the different serotonin reuptake inhibitors have different side effects, and they work differently for different people. So if the first one you try doesn't work or it has negative side effects, you need to try a different one.
Hmm.
You don't just stop.
You need
to switch it up.
You need something else.
And then, you know, if that one doesn't work, you switch it up again. So if video Prozac doesn't work, maybe try video Wellbutrin, or maybe video Cymbalta.
If Jones Good Ass Barbecue and Foot Massage isn't your type of pill, then maybe Sit Down and Shut Up will work for you. I don't know. Let's find out. Let's go on this journey together.
That's why we have the links page at grapesofrad.com, so that you can, you don't have to Google anything.
Nothing.
You can go to grapesofrad.com, click on links, and then find the show you're interested in learning more about, and there they are.
We are like a shady massage parlor.
Ew.
You come to us, we'll take care of everything. Don't you worry. Grapesofrad.com.
Oh, dude. Have you ever had a...
Where is this going?
Have you ever had a therapeutic massage? Have you ever
Once.
Done, was it from...
Well, I had twice, I guess. I had Seth when he was going through massage therapy school. He worked on my back because he needed some hours, and then I went to he got us a gift certificate one time, Megan and I, for each. So I went to the Waking Life and got
how was that
some
experience?
Massages there. It was okay. I am a bent over, tight, miserable fuck, right?
You're like when Mr. Burns was,
yeah,
27.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that's exactly. Yes, I have the posture of a jumbo shrimp, and I went there, and when I left, like, I didn't want to go home. Like, I wanted to walk around and enjoy the world because I just felt so good, and I just went down the Ave, and I like went into a bookstore and I bought a book. Like,
yes, dude. Yes, I have done quite a bit of that because I was in this really bad car wreck, and it was really helpful because my muscles were shit messed up.
Like, yeah, I bet.
I hadn't walked in months, and so when I started walking, my calves were just like, you know, like like cords of steel.
Oh.
Very tiny, tiny cords of steel. And after the first one, I got up and I couldn't feel my feet. Like, I was walking and I couldn't.
Weird.
Like, I felt like I was floating. I was like,
oh, wow. Like,
it's like, I am on drugs and I need to come back soon.
Wow.
But yeah, it's at the same time, it's sort of awkward because it's like you're paying someone and you're naked.
Yeah, that's really weird. That's really weird.
And you're
weird.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think anything weird's gonna happen, but there's just a sort of cloud of potential surrounding the situation.
How do you feel about male masseuses?
I've only had massage from. Let's see. I had the one lady that did my therapy for like a year, and then I had one time at a like yuppie place that was a guy.
In my head, like, a massage isn't a sexual thing. It's really nice.
Sure.
Every time with Seth and with this girl at Waking Life, they'll grab like my shoulder or my neck area and just gasp. Like, that's the reaction I get. Because I can't even, like, that's like, as far as I can turn my head.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. I know. I'm like Mick Mars from Motley Crue. Like, my bones are fusing together. I don't know.
You are unhealthy.
Look at that.
Dude, I've had a fucking broken neck and I'm in bed.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not kidding. It's a bad scene.
Aaron is turning his head much in the manner that you would expect someone with a neck brace on.
Like, if I ever had to wear, like, if somebody ever, like, got me down and put blinders on me, like, I'd be screwed. So I get the gasp reaction from masseuses, but
I don't think you're supposed to call them that.
No? Masseurs?
I think
oh,
they
massage
find that,
therapists?
Yeah, I think that masseuse is supposed to have the sexual connotation.
Oh, I see.
I believe it's sort of like, it's one of those terms where it was okay, and then, but when they got like medical
like
status,
stewardess.
they sort of wanted to like shift that off to the side.
Huh.
Or like the Orientals.
Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please.
Listener, what do you think about this? Like, I want to hear from both genders or sexes or whatever the fucking word is now. I can't keep anything straight.
I want to hear from both masseuses.
I want to hear from the dudes and the broads. Like I was saying, it's not a sexual thing, but for some reason, I don't really want a guy doing it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't know if you can.
It's not like I'd say, oh, wait, hold on, buddy. Like, no, this ain't cool. Like, it's not like that. Like, Seth, you know.
Sure.
He's in Alaska right now.
Oh, yeah.
If I may jump subjects
Big AK.
For a moment. And, he is just, his tweets.
He's loving it up there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where is he? Do you know?
I don't even know. Yeah. I don't even know. There's no 3G up there, so his iPhone is sluggish at best. It's like Shelton. There's no 3G in Shelton. yeah, but he says he's... He says it's pretty amazing. So all that to say, when he was massaging me, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, like, that's kind of weird. It's kind of weird to say those words, like, when he was massaging me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that doesn't...
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because I don't think you can...
Maybe it's the culture. Maybe it's the whole, like... Because you've been to India. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, like, over there, dudes walk...
Oh,
down the street, like,
guys
with
touching
hands
culture.
Interlocked.
Yeah.
Like, boyfriends and girlfriends mm-hmm. hold hands mm-hmm. over here. Like,
I think different people have different touch bubbles, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people are way more comfortable with it.
Sure.
Within, like, white North American culture.
Sure.
And then I don't think you can really clearly say it's not sexual. Because... Like, I don't think there's two categories. Like, well, there are sexual things and not sex. Like,
yeah,
there's
right.
this, you know, kind of continuum where.
Sure.
And that's where dudes will end up getting a massage and then end up getting, you know, a little more of a massage.
Happy ending.
At the end.
Yeah.
From a masseuse, of course, not from a massage therapist.
Not from a massage therapist.
But I've heard it compared that women get massages. Or like getting massages because that's the kind of like because they enjoy that kind of touch. Like
yeah.
it's like, well, a dude would go to a prostitute and a woman would get a massage.
Yeah, right.
And it's sort of just to
I mean,
blur,
I know, yeah.
you know, not to accuse any women of cheating on their, you know, husbands if they get
right.
a massage, but
right.
But I think it means different things to different people. And it is, and it can be awkward.
it can be very awkward. You're laying down on your stomach, and you're like, "Don't get a boner. Like, just don't get a boner. Just don't do anything. Don't get a boner. This isn't even, and it's not sexual. It's not like I'm enjoying this because me, you know, bridge cable sinew in my body is being stretched and pulled in ways that are extraordinarily so it's uncomfortable
oh,
for
dude.
Me. But still, you're just worried about that. I got to turn over at some point. And if shit ain't proper.
I realized at some point that when they turn you over onto your back, if the technician says, "Do you want another towel?"
Oh.
They mean, do you want something else to keep that...
you want to weigh that shit down.
Because I'm a little uncomfortable. Like the first time... I was like, "No, I'm all right." And then I was like, "Oh." So, anyway. Dad, you're going to need some massage therapy when you're back on your feet again. Just go with it.
I was just going to ask. I was just going to ask. How's your dad? What's the prognosis?
It's
the situation?
It's really good. It's let's see. It's kind of funny. The doctors and surgeons have this reputation lots of times, especially because I'm married to a midwife,
uh-huh.
of being sort of like elitist and kind of being assholes to the
right.
regular people
right.
because they're like so educated and they
right.
oh, they just want everyone to have this complete trust in them and whatever. So like the surgeon and the PA came in to my dad's room and they were kind of like – Now, he was being cool, but he was kind of doing that thing like, I'm the smartest man in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you
slow
have that,
down, Dr.
You
Cox.
Have that like, weird feeling like, I want you to be the smartest man in the world because you're going right, to operate right. on my dad's legs, but
yeah.
I don't really think you are. Like,
yeah.
So maybe just relax a little bit. But they right away they, so he broke the top of his femur. And it was in a weird spot where they were like, we could pin it back together, but the bone could die because it's in such a weird spot.
Right.
So it'd be better to just replace his hip, like what they would do Jeez. With like an old person, you know, who breaks their hip.
Yeah.
And my dad's like 59, I think. I think he just turned 59. And they couldn't. It was funny. You could tell that they were like, oh, so you were like cleaning out the attic or something. Like, they kept kind of, like, suggesting, like, their picture of it was, you're an old guy.
Right.
Who was, like, helping his neighbor, like, clean out his gutters or something. Because there's no 59-year-old dudes who are up there in the sun and rain framing, like, 10 feet off the ground, you know.
Little did you know, I was wrestling Wolverines.
And I'm like, he's a builder. Like, he was building. He wasn't, like, getting Christmas ornaments out. Like, he was kicking ass.
Spring cleaning.
And there are a number of people who would be dead if this had happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get that straight, Doc.
No joke.
So the cool thing about this is, because they replaced it, he can put weight on it right away.
That's rad.
Which is weird. It's like no cast, nothing. Like,
weird.
And so they're gonna get him. They're gonna get him moving around right away. And they're also like, but you shouldn't be getting up on ladders and getting up on roofs and stuff anymore, because you're not gonna be quite as, you know, stable.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Which I think is, it's one of those life events where you're like, oh yeah, maybe it's time for,
like,
me to start doing other kinds of stuff, you know? And it's funny to hear it from a doctor, because they're like, they think it's weird that he's doing it.
Right.
You know? Whereas if this hadn't happened, he probably would just keep doing it until he died. would be like 90, like framing a house.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
yeah,
he'd
your
have
dad
an
is
aneurysm
that guy.
Or something, you know?
Yep.
So, so it's it's kind of a big deal, but he's a good guy. So I hung out with him at the hospital, and you know, he was all doped up, and it was kind of funny.
Your dad called the voicemail this week.
yeah, dude.
After your retelling of the shotgun story, this one goes out to you, Big Ray.
Well, Ben, I laughed so hard I hurt when I heard the story over again. Your memory is incredible. I guess I can't hope that you're going to forget any of this stuff. Well, I knew you wouldn't forget the big part of that, but the raccoon was pretty good. And when I touched that round off, it lit up about a 1,500 square foot area, almost like it was daylight. It was a lot of flame at the end of the gun. Pretty good deal. Sorry about the fort. Hope the statute of limitations is up. And I don't want to join Mike the Vic. Bye. Always trying to play Rambo with the ammo. Make a nigga want to stay in family mode.
We get our voicemail listener from a website. That's where you call the number and the machine, you know, says enter your drop code, and it gets stored on this server, and Ben and I access this server. So I get on there and I see that Big Ray has left a message, and I'm so excited. And the first two words out of his mouth, and I just started laughing because I thought about all the people who listen who don't know your dad but know you, and like sometimes you get into that sort of mellow Ben Parsons
totally.
And your dad says two words, and I'm just laughing because people, that is clearly Ben's dad.
Yep.
It's great, so great. We hope you get better real fast, Ray.
Yes, dude.
Speaking of needing to get better, upstairs right now, this is the morning, so my home either is now or shall be bustling shortly. So you may hear some creaks in the floor above us, just letting you know. It's very possible.
Creaks?
These are sensitive microphones.
Because you had a teacher. I just wasn't sure if you were doing...
Oh, no. Rachel.
Listen to those creaks.
Eating some treaked frictions. Rachel's upstairs with, like, tuberculosis or something, bronchitis, something that sounds like a dinosaur.
Walking pneumonia.
And you might hear some moving around.
Also some coughing up of blood.
Also, Doc Holliday is in the studio.
Seriously. He could still kill you. I mean, on his deathbed.
You've seen Tombstone, right?
Oh, yeah.
I remember seeing that in the theaters. And, like, my sister, I went with some, maybe some youth group leaders or something. Like, some people we knew from church, some older people. And, like, a bunch of the girls went off to see, like, Beethoven or Beethoven Second or whatever. And the boys went to go see Tombstone. Way better. But how much, after you saw that movie, did you practice that coin flipping, like, over his knuckle stuff? Like, I just remember being in school for, like, 2 weeks, just constantly, just trying to flip.
Pretty big coin to do it.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
But not, like, a silver dollar.
No, maybe one. Maybe one of them Sacagaweas.
A loony?
Might be a loony.
What's up, Canada?
Holla! Here's a teaser. Later on in the show, last week we talked about the Britney Spears concert.
Yes.
And how she stopped it.
Well, that was a few weeks
ago, all of a sudden,
ago,
for the
I
smoking
think.
Pot. I don't know. I'm so bad with time.
Speaking of pot.
Can we... I'll get to that. Listener... Listener Wade up in Vancouver has a little voicemail surprise for us. Stay tuned. It's a good story.
Indeed.
I am the worst with time. I wanted to tell a story, and I couldn't remember when it happened. Like, was it last week, or was it 2 months ago? I genuinely can't tell the difference.
It's, that's why we have... That's why we have things like the Civil War. Was it before the Civil War? It was definitely after the Civil War. I think here's my theory. Time is a construct.
It's not. Man.
It's not a real thing. So it's sort of irrelevant. The only reason that you need it is in order to relate to someone else about something in a way that they will understand.
Hmm.
So you don't actually need it personally. It's kind of like you don't need it until you need to know we're going to meet at this place at this time.
Okay.
So I say bag it.
I like that.
Yeah. Just, and then when someone's like, hey, can we do this? Can we plan this? Then you can be like, okay. Like, yeah, I guess. Or I have to show up at math class at this time. Okay. But other than those kind of requirements, I'm like...
You are sanding against the grain of my East Coast roots right now.
I'm like, sanding with a piece of redwood.
Yes. Oh. It's to the minute, son, out there. First time I came out here, I'm just like, you guys are like 3 minutes late. What the hell are you talking about?
I hate being late. So I have to decide if it's something that I need to be on. So if it's something that I'm like, it's not a big deal if I'm on time or not, then I won't hate being late. But if it's something that I'm like, I need to be on time, then I'm like freaking out. Mm-hmm. Like, so the more kids I have, the less things like that I have. Because my kids are like, F time. Oh, I just shat myself.
Oh, no. Dude, the stuff that you're talking about that you just kind of decide what to be late for and what to be on time for, I'm definitely going through that right now, because where I'm from, if something's at 5 o'clock, you're there a few minutes early, so you're ready to roll at 5 o'clock.
Right.
And here, 5 o'clock is like 10 after.
Yeah.
Is when people roll in.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of purposely being late to things right now.
you're midstream, like, switch over.
Is yeah, that... yeah. Like, I'm testing the waters. I got my leg in the pool.
I'm trying to be late in order to be culturally relevant.
In order to not stab myself in the eyes. Yes.
That's so great, dude. I'm full on West Coast. I mean, I've moved a lot, but I've lived on the West Coast my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought about it like that, but it's true.
It's
sort of part of the deal.
Yeah. Where I'm from, if I'm picking you up at, and I've done this to William, the bartender, if I'm picking you up and I'm going to pick you up, I'll be there at 10 to 5 or 10 of 5, where I'm from.
10 of.
I'll pull up to your house at that time and I will wait for a minute or two, I'll honk the horn, and if I don't hear anything, see ya. Peace.
Really?
Yeah, and it's not just me.
You'll like, leave?
If you're late to something, your friends abandon you because you're late. That's just how it works.
I like that, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of do, too, but it's easier for me because it's what I'm used to.
It's more functional.
Yes.
But we're not all about the functionality out here. We're about the friendliness.
That is the lifestyle that I'm adapting to. That's one of the reasons I moved out here, was because that, to me, was appealing. But
not anymore.
Strange nonetheless.
Yeah, dude. Mm.
So I got something funny from listener James.
All right.
In Shelton. I didn't know about this. I'm usually up on these types of things. I didn't know about this.
I heard about this one.
And we will be providing a link on the links page, grapesofrad.com. There's an iPhone app out there that is no longer out there because it was removed forcibly from the iTunes app store. It's a great little app that uses, iPhones and do the iPod touches have it? That thing that can sense the gyro thingy that knows what position the phone's in and how fast it's moving and whatever.
Because you can have all the same games on both.
Ah, right. So it utilizes that.
The accelerometer.
Accelerometer. That's what it's called. Thank you. The accelerometer. A few of the nerdy dudes who listen to the show were just accelerometer.
Listener Justin just passed out in frustration.
He did. Sorry, dude. It's called Baby Shaker. And what it is?
This is one of those apps where you take a picture of a chick and then you can shake her boobs around, right? No?
No, although I'm sure that's in the works.
Oh, they exist.
Oh, God. Of course they do. I'm sorry.
This isn't what you're talking about?
No, this is not what I'm talking about. This is somebody made sketches of babies and they're crying. There's sound. And it is your job to shake your iPhone or iPod Touch until the baby is silent and has two red X's over his or her eyes.
So awful and so not awful.
I really want one. It was 99 cents, but it's not. You can't get it anymore. But somebody who had it on their phone filmed it and put it on YouTube. So that's the link we got for you.
I don't understand how that happened, because they have like this screening process that you have to go through.
Right.
Like, so someone in Apple was like, green light that.
You
sure.
Know somebody saw it and was just like.
Someone who didn't have kids.
Uh-huh.
Crying babies in your makeup. It's so messed up.
I know some of you aren't laughing at this, I'm sure. Because they're like,
shaking babies is not funny. This many babies die a year because of shaking.
That's exactly right. Remember, kids, if you can't laugh at everything, you can't laugh at anything. That is the rule. Ben's looking at me puzzled.
Everything?
Philosophy time. Yes, that's what I think.
If you can't laugh at everything?
If you can't laugh at
does
everything.
Does that mean everything is funny?
No. That means if there's something off limits.
Okay, now I got you. I have a similar philosophy, but would you like to go there?
I can expand on that slightly.
Please do.
If there's something that you deem cannot be made fun of, that there's something like, let's say, the Holocaust or dead babies or something like that, like or religion, Jesus,
sure,
or something, right?
Sure.
Like people don't have a sense of humor about Muhammad
apparently
around
not.
The world, right? The problem with that for me is, if you say, well, that can't be made fun of, then that opens the gate for there's something about everything that's serious. Mm-hmm. Or not everything, but, you know, anything that would be really funny.
There are parts of this country where farting is really offensive and
right.
Not funny.
Right. So
and
as soon as you make that distinction, you're...
We will be separating ourselves as a nation.
Over that.
Over this divide.
Over flatulence. But that's basically what I'm saying. If you decide that, and if you try and draw a line, then nothing is cool anymore because there's going to be a problem with anything.
Yeah, I agree. I spent a lot. I spent, I don't know, a good 29, 28 years or so. Well, I guess there's a few at the beginning where you can't really count it.
Uh-huh.
Choosing to not laugh at things for moral reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I'm a Christian and I can't laugh at that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not saying like overtly, like, oh, you should laugh at racist jokes.
Right.
Or you should. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, here's how I put it to a friend of mine recently. You can tell. You know how sometimes you'll say something and you'll start laughing and then the person will say, is that funny? Like, are we allowed to laugh at this?
Right.
And I'll be like, you can tell it's funny if you're laughing. Like, that's how you can tell. Like, if you are laughing, it is funny.
Right.
There's only one reason you'd be laughing, and it's because it's funny.
Because it's funny.
Or if you're blazingly uncomfortable and you don't know what to do. That's another reason.
Which is
but
also
that
funny.
That itself is funny. Which reminds me.
Yes.
Something I've been thinking about this week.
Yes.
The accidental boob graze.
Oh.
And by graze, I don't mean like an animal grazing. I mean when you accidentally, as a dude, or perhaps this happened, I'm sure this must happen to women from time to time, but it's probably a lot less awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand or elbow or whatever grazes the mammary gland
mm-hmm.
of a fellow human, a mm-hmm. female. And
you kind of said it like a human, a fellow human.
The humans are dead. What do you do when that happens? And
I want to know what you do when that happens.
Right. That's what I've been thinking about. That's what I've been thinking about this week, because this is another one of those things where I'm like, that's so awkward. That's so awful. It's not funny. And I'm like, it's funny.
It is funny.
But I had an experience that was so bad, and now it's super funny. But
okay.
At the time, I was like, my organs were dying inside, like, of shame and guilt. Like, I was in a leadership position of a religious organization. I was talking with a female staff member, not a person in leadership, like a person who was on staff, who was,
right.
was like one of my
you were their
employees.
Boss. Yeah.
And I did the accidental boob graze as we're talking. I'm like, I move my hands around a lot. I'm fairly energetic lots of times. And I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just kind of hit one with the back of my hand. And
okay.
It wasn't like a, you know, like a smack. It was just a graze, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't even know how to address the full on, like, that doesn't that's got to not happen.
Well, open palming is inconsiderate, at best. I don't know how to address that either.
This is a separate issue.
Other than 911.
So, full on accident. And
okay, yeah, sure.
And the woman makes no response. Complete not. Not the corner of her mouth, like
nothing.
Frowning or smiling. Her eyes don't. I mean,
right.
It was like you took a picture of the person and just and held it up in front of her face. I get nothing. And so I'm
Whoa.
Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if she's offended. I don't know if she even. Maybe she doesn't even know. The thing that's going through my mind really is I hope she doesn't know. Maybe somehow. She has a padded bra on or something. I don't know. And and I'm just hoping, and I'm just like, okay, I'm doing my best to not, I have a hard time not acknowledging when awkward things happen and
mm-hmm.
just keeping going. Like I usually acknowledge them because that's how I deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the funny things happen. So I like to, you know, but I'm just like, Mel would be so proud. My wife's always like trying to coach me like, don't talk about how it's awkward. Just act like it's not awkward. And I just
no,
so I'm like, I'm powering through. I'm just going to keep going like nothing happened because that's what she's doing, the person. And
yeah,
that's, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
I can do it too. And so I'm like, so we just keep talking and da-da-da. And one of us drops a pen or something.
Oh, God.
I can't remember if it was her or myself. But I bend over and I pick it up to grab it for her. And I stand up really quick and I do it again.
Dude!
Same hand. Same side.
No! No!
And at that point...
Well, that's a double dip.
I mean, I'm I am freaking, like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I am going to jail. I am going to get sued.
Oh my goodness.
I, you know, I mean, I'm going to be excommunicated from this organization and the church. The Pope is going to piss on my ashes. It was not a Catholic organization.
And you're not even Catholic.
Right. That's bad when that happens. Jesus has turned aside from me. She. Okay, dude.
Oh, no.
Again. Nothing.
Nothing?
And I'm just like, I can't explain the amount of trauma that is going on inside my body and mind right now. I'm like,
it's a beautiful picture.
And I just like, I basically, I'm just like, I gotta go.
Yeah. Okay. Let me paint a picture for listeners who aren't, who don't have intimate knowledge of Ben Parsons on a friendship level. You know, people, like, you're talking to them, or maybe this has been you. You're talking to someone and you're face to face and they really have to go take a shit or go pee or something, like they have to go to the bathroom, and you're looking at them and you're talking to them, but you see in their eyes like, okay, this conversation's happening, but I'm not here right now. I'm way into, I have to go take a whiz. That's Ben.
You've transcended.
In that situation.
Yeah.
You are now engulfed by the thoughts of what just happened. What am I supposed to do? What is protocol for this situation? How do you humans deal with such an interaction?
Well, the thing is that I used to be a really emotional person. I would easily figure that I had hurt people's feelings or that people were upset or whatever. Like, I figured everybody else's emotional meter was like going crazy like mine was all the time. Mm-hmm. And so when people give a flat response, like, I don't know what to do. And in this case, it was just like, I have to get out of this situation. Like, I'm leaving.
All right. Here's the deal. Ladies, call the voicemail. Tell us what's happening here. Because my solution to this problem is like, oh, you know, just kind of like, yes, well, it happens. Because if you are a woman who has breasts who are great, that which are grazable, then they get in your way. Like, it happens. So it's something that I think is very normal, perhaps, for them. We as men make a way huger deal about boobs than ladies do. That's kind of where I think that's at the core of this
I
discussion.
Think you're probably right.
Am I right, ladies?
I
need to hear from some females on this.
Yeah. Help us out.
Because we need it.
Dude, so you're saying...
boobs.
you're saying you'd just be like, sorry.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's a very mature and balanced way to do things. And I don't think I can do it.
That could be the first two times those words have ever been used to describe me. Thank you.
It's completely different than the butt graze. If you hit somebody's butt with your hand, I mean, to
right.
me, it's like...
Because you have one.
Right.
So you've kind of demystified the
right.
whole ass.
But I have a dick, and I don't go around brushing dudes' dicks and thinking it's fine.
But, no, but we... I mean, we play Tap Wars.
True.
Like, we, you know...
Or not maybe not right now, but maybe
no, not at the moment.
14 or so.
Oh, I thought you meant right now. I'm like, I don't have gadget arms. I can't reach you. That would be rad, though. I could probably throw something at them.
I'm covered.
Hey, Ben and Aaron. Tis I, DJ Kilt, a.k.a. DIY Gourmet, a.k.a. Wade the Stagehand, calling you from the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Yeah, I just wanted to give you guys the real inside scoop and update about what happened at Brittany, as you were slagging on her a couple shows ago, because I saw the whole gory spectacle from right off stage left. I was sitting there the whole time, doing my duty, grabbing props from circus midgets and hoochie dancers, and it was all a giant bizarre carnival of suck. What happened is the stage went dark, And, you know, we all thought that she was going down for a ridiculous costume change, but nothing happened for like 15 minutes. The entire place was dark. No stage lights, no house lights, no nothing. We thought that she was actually going to leave and make a run because the loading bay doors opened and the limos pulled up. We thought she was just going to bail and that we'd be in the middle of a 20-year-old hoochie club girl and gay man riot, and that they'd be throwing stiletto heels and designer handbags and just have a big cat fight on our hands, and we were scared for our lives. But then, of course, they came on and they made the announcement that, you know, people were smoking. There was a non-smoking facility. And then, of course, later on in the press, as you mentioned, they said that she was concerned about the safety of the technicians above the stage. Two problems with that. First of all, when has a rock star ever been concerned about the safety of a technician? Oh, my goodness. A couple of weeks ago at the Juno Awards, Nickelback, Phil's favorite band, my buddy Benson was above the stage in a follow spot chair, and they lowballed their pyro guest for the fire inspector during the rehearsal, and so they wanted a little bit more rock and roll, so they almost singed his ass and the pyro with the pyro when he was in the follow spot chair. So A, rock stars don't care about technicians. B, since when were technicians concerned about inhaling any kind of smoke, especially that of the cannabis? That doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense either. But what does make a lot of sense is, of course, because, you know, Britney's all clean now because she's, you know, doesn't want to be a crazy psycho Britney, and she's trying to get her kids back. All her crew has to be, like, drug-free and submit to, you know, random drug tests and urine tests and whatnot. So what happened, the real story is that, you know, like, 8 people out of a crowd of 18,000 were smoking pot. I mean, come on, it's a Britney Spears show. It's not like Fish or the Grateful Dead or Snoop Dogg, right? And those were probably guys who were dragged there by their girlfriends who were like, oh, if I have to watch Britney Spears, I might as well be stoned, right? So that's what caused the whole enormous big schmozzle in the first place. Just thought I'd give you the heads up, keeping you up to date on the rock and roll spectacle in Vancouver. Take care, guys, and later.
Thank you, Mr. Wade.
Yes.
Thank you for calling the voicemail and enriching the show. There's some stuff on the website that's new, which Aaron is going to explain.
Yeah, we have two new pages that were put up this week, and one is a voicemail page. There's the Contact Us at the top of the website, where if you click on it, there's the box where you can send us an email, which a few people have done. We've gotten a few funny stories that way. But there's also a voicemail page which addresses two concerns. One is this fucking extension. I know. Ben and I are poor and don't have the money to pay for a voicemail service. So the only option is to have something with an extension. But on this new page, there is we tell you how you can save the whole number, including the extension, into your phone.
Right.
So you can just hit send, and it'll call and enter the extension automatically for you. That's one. Two, tips what to say.
Right.
Like, okay, I've called, now what? We give you some pointers, perhaps. Just some topics, some things to think about, the how-tos, and tell us a story. The biggest one, and this is what Wade just did, is respond to something you heard on the show.
Totally.
Ray earlier, that was a response to a story on the show. If you do that, listener, exclusive, you're going to get to the front of the line.
It's true.
We will put you in the next episode if you respond to something from the show.
It's as close to an actual talk show as we can get. Right.
Yes,
now.
That's right.
So we like the feedback. We like the response calls and emails, but mostly calls.
I do like the calls very much.
The thing is that this show actually is, it actually costs us a little bit of money to do it. Not just time, but actual a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to put a bunch more money into other things that we could get for free. So right now, that's how it is. You know what I mean? Deal with it.
If the fucking zoo ever calls me back for my job application, which they said could take 3 to 4 weeks.
Come on, zoo.
I think I'm almost up to week 3.
Come on.
Then I will set aside, we'll talk about an ad budget. We should do that, because there are some good places to advertise.
We couldn't get our own star named after us. We couldn't do that.
No.
Somebody did it for
Listener
us.
Listener Sean.
You know?
Yeah. Show hero Sean.
That's right.
That sounds Japanese. Shohiro.
Ooh.
Shohiro Sean.
Those Orientals.
Chinaman, please.
Oh, my God. We had that Chinese intro, too.
We did. Hi, Angel.
Who is that?
That's Angel. She works with Megan.
Oh, right on.
And nice. we went to go see one of her coworkers. Jim has the apartment building he lives in has this like small theater room, and he throws movie nights once in a while. And dude,
whoa,
mad props, Jim, because he gets pizza and booze and like doesn't ask for a dime. Like
how do they show it on a projector?
They have a projector and a big screen, maybe like an 8-foot screen or something like that. It's
that
is
so
yeah,
cool.
It's badass. So this past Tuesday, he had Lebowski night, and he bought tons of vodka and Kahlua.
Wow!
And milk, and we made some White Russians,
that
and watched
so
the Big
great.
Lebowski. Yeah,
and it has a theater room.
Yeah,
interesting. The only thing I lived in a condo for a while,
mm-hmm.
and the only thing we had was a basket of fake flowers and cranky old people. There was this old lady that lived there.
Uh huh.
Who you have probably seen in the U District, because she's like 90 and she just walks around full of rage, taking down bills that people have posted on the like light poles and stuff. Like,
really?
She will walk up and try to take every little piece of paper off the. And it's like.
Oh, God.
It's like. Every time I've walked by her several times when she's doing this, and I'll just be like, get in the box. Either get a job, go on vacation, or get in the box.
Get in the box. I've never heard that before. That's really funny.
I heard that. That's not mine. I can't remember who said it. I heard it a long time ago.
Get in the box. How would you feel about some Prozac?
Took some this morning.
At this juncture.
No, I
have some more.
Really did.
No. Are you up to brand names now?
No, it's the same thing.
In a different, different box.
Same thing.
This week's Video Prozac is brought to you by the African American community.
Thank you, community.
College boys. Two things. One, I mentioned earlier. Perhaps you are familiar, perhaps not, with JonesBigAssTruckRentalAndStorage.com. Again, that's no. JonesBigAssTruckRentalAndStorage.com.
That's not the soda company.
No.
Totally different.
From the people that brought you Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and Storage.com comes the next awesome business venture, Jones Good Ass Barbecue and Foot Massage. Links will abound on the links page at grapesofrad.com.
Hmm.
But basically, if you go to Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and Storage.com, you will see the story behind. And some advertisements for Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and Storage.
Right.
We'll have a link to that page, but he's also made a new ad for his new business, Jones Good Ass Barbecue and Foot Massage. Because you like barbecue and you like foot massages.
Of course you do.
Of course. So there's a YouTube clip for that commercial, but get involved. It's hilarious. And he has a number that you can call for Jones Big Ass Truck Rental and Storage. And people, it's a voicemail, and people leave messages on this number, and then they put it up on the website. So you can listen to some of the voicemails that people have left, things they want to store, etc. And he will store anything.
I'd like to store my shame.
You should call in. He's got room.
He's got lots of room.
He's got lots of room. Numero dos, Black Jesus.
Yes.
I believe I played the Steve Jobs clip for Ben.
Yes.
The guy, I still didn't look up his stupid name. His name's Aaron something.
He makes the Boondocks.
He makes the Boondocks. And if you're familiar with the Boondocks, either the cartoon strip or the cartoon on TV, It's pretty serious. It tends to scare white people sometimes. It's just got that sort of...
It's a little edgy.
Heavy, edgy type of thing. And Black Jesus definitely falls into that category. If you think you might be offended by a Black Jesus saying things like shit, fuck, and my nigga...
And using a Bluetooth.
And having a Bluetooth. Then this is not for you. If you're down, this is hilarious. We will provide links to Steve Jobs, Black Jesus is the Cure, and Gluttony. Yes. Wonderful.
That was a lot of Prozac.
It was, dude. We need it this week.
I should be good for at least 3 days.
I didn't even get to meat cards. Meatcards.com. There you go. That's all you need.
Last week, bartender William... here in the studio, humbly requested, his own intro music. Could you please stop introducing me with, hey, bartender, could you please stop it and give me some music, give me some respect? And this was the response.
Hey, bartender, it's the drunk part of the show. Hey, bartender, from Boilermakers to Bordeaux. Oh, the skills that you can acquire from listening to your friend and mine, the bartender. He'll tell you just what to do. Hey, bartender, call the voicemail, ask away. William is the bartender. And even if your question's gay, he will answer you with the know-how of 57 Einsteins. Hey, bartender, bartend me tonight. Hey, bartender.
Welcome to Hey Bartender, everybody, with your bartender and my bartender, William the Bartender. Hey, Will.
What's up?
How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Chilling?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's okay.
All right.
I feel comfortable.
I like it.
I'm just letting you know.
What's on the agenda? What's on the clipboard of fun this week?
Oh, you're recording. This week, let's talk about parties.
I like that.
Aaron, you got any ideas?
I love parties.
Good. Here's some fun things to do at parties. We got two things to address. One, listener Nick on the Twitter account,
yes.
The Grapes of Rad. If you're not into Twitter, or what does Ben call it?
He twiddles.
Twiddles,
that's
okay.
What he likes to say.
Does he have his thumb in his mouth? Or sorry, twiddles just seems like a really. Like, sorry, Ben. I deeply apologize. So, Twitter, if you're not on the Grapes of Rad thing, get into it. Listener Nick a few weeks ago sent out this link that said, you know, of all these shots, and like, oh, would Will recommend any of these shots? And basically, they were all shots you do for people that you hate, or like think like kind of gross, nasty stuff. So I'm gonna address that a little bit in the party, in regards to partying up.
I like that.
Partying it up.
Party up.
Anyway, summer's coming along soon, hopefully. One great idea for parties is go to the liquor store. And instead of getting bottles, like the full-size stuff, go get the little minis.
I love that.
Like, it's great. Get a shit ton of them.
I love that idea.
And, like, get your, like, standards. Like, don't get all this, like, you know, really weird stuff that you're not really familiar with. Mm-hmm. Don't get your Kahluas. But get your whiskeys and your tequilas, your gins even. Like, do that kind of stuff. Because people get down with them.
Yeah.
Like, even if you spend, like, Aaron and I went to this party last year for 4th of July.
4th of July, right.
This boat party, a buddy of mine. He bought 2 kegs and a shit ton of those little minis, you know? And we didn't even go through a half of a keg.
Yeah.
Because people were so into the minis.
Yeah.
And, like, people bring their own beer and stuff, too. So, like, he wasted a shit ton of money on these kegs, but the minis everybody went through, like... So that's what I would recommend, is people are already going to bring their own beer, that kind of stuff, but minis are fucking fantastic.
Yeah, they really are.
Because one, it is a shot, so you're not going to have to worry about people like over pouring.
I like it because you don't have to commit like $30 or $40 to a
right.
specific type of alcohol.
Right.
You can just buy like $15 worth of some decent bourbon
guys.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
you don't have to worry about dishes, and like you don't have to worry about reusing shot glasses or
dishes.
That dude at the party that you know has like herpes, like drinking out of the bottle. Like, you don't have to worry about that shit. There's always one of those guys.
The one
there.
Dude?
There's always one of those. In reference to Nick's suggestion about shots and stuff, one thing that's fun to do is, you know, if you want, like, do some, like, gag shots kind of stuff, like some joke things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the list that he sent out was okay. There's some better ones. Some of them will just get you drunk. They're not, like, gross or anything. But Dante's ass crack's a great shot for people who haven't tried it before because it's hot, spicy, all that kind of stuff. But the one that, like, will always get you is called the cement mixer.
That was in my head, dude. That's what I was thinking of.
It's like the nastiest worst. Shit. Like, there's some shots out there that, like, are more complicated and might be, like, taste worse, but that's the one that, like, you will remember it. And so basically what it is you take a shot glass, you put Bailey's in it, and then you put fresh lime juice, like squeezed lime juice in it, and let it sit for a few minutes. And it'll curdle the Baileys.
Ugh.
And so, like, if you don't let it sit and just let somebody shoot it, like, it will curdle in their mouth. It's really fucking gross. Like, it's thick. It's like cottage cheese. And it doesn't even taste good. Like,
so what do you do? Do you let it sit or do you let somebody drink it immediately?
If you want to surprise somebody, you just do it right there on the spot. It won't curdle until, like, you mix it. But if you let it sit there for, like, 5 minutes, it'll start to curdle, you know, without you jostling it at all.
Right,
you know? But,
right.
like, it's that one's horrible, genuinely horrible. I do that I can't believe I'm admitting this. I do that to frat boys oftentimes when they come into my bar and they're really annoying me. They, like, come in, they're, like, knocking over chairs and shit, and they want their shot, you know? And so I always give them some mixers. The other one, Prairie Fires, are pretty common. It's kind of like a Dante's ass crack where it's spicy, but basically all it is a shot of tequila with hot sauce in it. Tabasco is the best, so you just dump some Tabasco sauce. And it's a Prairie Fire because it'll have, especially if you use like a slightly aged, like a golden tequila, you know, it makes it all red in the bottom and kind of works its way up. So it looks like
something's on
prairie
fire.
Grass on fire.
Right on.
So that's another one.
That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Will works at Frat Free Flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It's on 43rd and the Ave in Seattle. Come stop by if you haven't already. It's kind of the cool new thing.
Yeah.
Listeners are showing up at Flowers in droves.
Yeah.
And I like it very much. Thank you, Will.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And back to you, Mr. Ben, and me in the time warp that is our studio.
That's bizarre.
Dude, the new intro is bomb. I heard an earlier version of this in my car.
Yes.
And was blown away.
Thanks, dude.
I was in traffic and I was listening on my phone and I was like, this is making I can't even tell I'm in traffic. I love it. And then I come back and he has produced a even better version. It's like the prime rib.
Ooh.
It was a nice steak before, but now it's even better.
I love it.
Dude, it's the jam.
Yeah, I'm pretty psyched about that one.
I'm just going to put that one. We should make that downloadable for people.
I can do that.
They can just put it on their iPods. They're at the gym working out. They're on the treadmill. Listening.
Snapping along. Dancing. Love that.
So awesome, dude. So awesome.
I have to give mad props. For the people, this is kind of a fun little inside producer fact. All the music that I use for the bartender segments and that theme song as well,
yeah,
is all production music that they used on Ren and Stimpy.
Oh.
So I found this guy. Yeah, like a few months ago, I guess when we started doing it, I found this guy online who put together all that, like, cheesy sort of, you know, instrumental, like, jazz sometimes in quotes type stuff, and even the dramatic music, and
and
I downloaded it, and that's what I've been using for bartender.
It sounds like background music from, like, I Dream of Jeannie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it's so great. What about the intro music at the beginning? What's that from of the show?
That is Devotchka. They're most famous.
Is it just instrumental?
That song, yes, is just instrumental.
But not all their stuff.
In fact, we should
rep them too, because we use that every week.
Maybe I'll play them at the end. The
we
song
send
that they're
them
more
like a dollar or something.
Yeah. We're giving them props, man. We're like an iPod commercial. Except not as
You guys, we got a download this week. What happened? Oh, there's this podcast.
Maybe I'll play some of their... They're most known for a song called How It Ends. And maybe I can play
Sounds
that
familiar.
At the end of the episode. It's a beautiful song.
That would be fitting.
Yes, I think so.
I've got a VHS pick.
Lovely.
This is a VHS... This means a movie which came out on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
There's no DVD.
No.
I don't even think you can get it on DVD. Maybe. I don't know. How does that work? Remastered? Digitally?
Yeah, they pretty much throw everything on DVD at this point.
You couldn't used to. You didn't want to.
If you can get like Tremors 4 on DVD, then you can get whatever it is you're about to say, I'm sure.
I have a VHS pick. And the VHS pick of the week is the movie Innerspace. Starring Martin Short.
Yes.
Dennis Quaid. And Meg Ryan. When she still looked like a normal person. And this movie, which you're laughing, so I'm assuming.
Yes, I've seen Innerspace. Yes.
They shrink down Dennis Quaid in a like kind of spaceship type of thing by spinning it around really fast.
Then they
put it in a syringe, and they're going to inject it into a rabbit for scientific purposes. Because it's like, well, why stick just a camera inside the rabbit when you can shrink down a whole spaceship? I don't really get the logic
in that
plot
whatsoever.
Something, there's like some kind of terrorist, like explosional takeover sort of thing that happens during the experiment, and then one of the scientists ends up with the syringe, and he gets out and he sticks it in Martin Short's ass, and then Dennis Quaid is inside.
And hijinks ensue.
Martin Short's ass. For the rest of the movie.
That sounds awesome.
It's pretty great. It's the total.
How many times do you think it's ever been said that Dennis Quaid is in Martin Short's ass?
That was the first time ever. Well, it's probably been. They were together for a while.
Weird. My favorite part of Innerspace is when they change his face, and they like so Martin Short is walking around looking like some other dude. And
right.
He's at this meeting, and I forget if he's... It's been a while. I forget if he's supposed to be a drug dealer or some sort of, like... He's some sort of highfalutin criminal
right.
He's posing as. With, like, a gold tooth, maybe? Maybe there's a gold tooth involved? Anyway, his stress levels get too high, and his facial remolding gets short-circuited, and he starts flipping out and ends up turning back to Martin Short. But the way they do it... is like when you put your face up to a vacuum on reverse.
The blower,
you know,
like a leaf blower.
Yeah, it's the leaf blower face, like your lips and you see all your teeth. Like, way to go, guys.
It's so high tech.
Yeah, big time.
That part of that scene where his face is freaking out is on the trailer that we'll be linking to, which is the IMDb
Fantastic.
Trailer. And this is some good, this is some quality VHS material.
You know, I heard from my friend Mark, who listens to our little program.
Yes.
And he saw this past week Overnight, which was an indie movie pick of mine several weeks ago about Troy Duffy, the guy who wrote and directed Boondock Saints.
Yes.
And how he came out of nowhere and got signed by like Harvey Weinstein and Miramax as like a bartender, I think, or a bouncer, some sort of, he worked in a bar.
Yeah.
And he makes this movie, and then is just such an insufferable ass.
In real life.
that he just, nobody wants to work with him, nobody wants to buy his movie, and he ends up basically broke and penniless at the end of the documentary, which his friends filmed, you know, and then...
Oh, it was his friends. I didn't know that part from before.
Yeah, his friends filmed it.
Oh, wow.
Because they were there. Like, jeez, so it's that, real intimate.
That makes it... See, that's the part I couldn't get when you were talking about it before. I'm like, why would he let... people make this movie, or why would
he would, because he thinks he's the shit,
but I mean, who?
Yes.
I gotta write this down.
It's
Overnight.
Anyway, a viewer or a listener saw it and said it was great. Awesome, I believe was the word that he used.
That's listener imported agreement. We like that.
How about a little segment we like to call That's Messed Up?
Perf.
Miss.
Here, say goodbye.
Bye.
A 57-year-old man admitted threatening to fire a cannon at his neighbors. Stephen Sharp was arrested January 21st after a report by his neighbor, who said Sharp was yelling obscenities and threatening to shoot her and her husband with a cannon. The dispute was over some trees the Averys were having cut down on their property.
Wait. Property like ground? This gentleman does not live upon the high seas, which is the only where you should be firing cannons?
You're going to find out where he lives in a moment.
Oh, goddamn.
I haven't brought that into the story yet. Deputies who responded to the scene reported finding a cannon in Sharp's garage.
No.
He was not speaking metaphorically. With fresh fuse and a canister of black powder near it.
No!
According to the probable cause statement, it appeared as if Sharp was going to carry out his threat to use his cannon on the Averys. Mason County deputies.
No!
This man is from Matlock, a suburb of Shelton.
Oh, no!
That's messed up. / Shelton story brought to you by my mom, who emailed the story to me directly from the pages of the Shelton Mason County Journal.
Janet, I'm pumping my fists in the air. Oh, wow.
So, dude has a cannon, threatens to use it, going to jail.
You had me at dude had a cannon.
And I don't mean like, that wasn't a euphemism. Like,
he's not strong in the arm. Like, he's not a good pitcher. He actually had a cannon. Two things, if I may.
You may.
One, this is what I'm talking about when a few weeks ago we expressed distress over the fact that the people... or the government of Mason County was telling people to arm themselves. Okay?
This is exactly...
This is a bad scene.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Folks, that is not cool.
He was concerned because cutbacks were being made in the law enforcement budget.
That's right.
Therefore, he decided to take matters into his own canon.
Two, I'm assuming they're white people. Because they live in Mason County, so chances are.
Fair enough.
Let me explain something to our non-white listener. Nothing upsets white people.
This is how you can tell it's white people.
Quite like trees and property lines. People will flip their shit. White people will flip their shit. If there's a tree that is somehow encroaching upon a property line.
Oh, Or not. Or if there was one and now it's gone.
Or if there was one and now it's gone. They will go to the civic buildings and look up like the city planning schematics and find out exactly, like we will do research to find out exactly where the property line is. So when we confront this offending neighbor about this flora, we have a loaded arsenal of defense.
But that would be a figurative arsenal, normally, not... Not usually an actual
fucking cannon.
A giant black powder cannon.
Last Thursday, Daniel Duran, he walked into Wachovia Bank in Houston, Texas.
Okay. I love the bank ones.
And he told the teller he had a gun, and he ordered her to give him money. Like you do when you rob a bank. So what this teller did... Gave him some cash bundles.
Sure.
With exploding dye packs in them. So this is what you do.
Awesome.
Duran stuffed the money down his pants and ran out of the bank. Police arrested him a short time later after the dye packs exploded while still allegedly down his pants. He was taken to an area hospital with second-degree burns to his genital region.
What was the cleanup like on that shit? Oh, I mean, they've got him laid out on the table in the ER, and they have to get down to the skin in order to treat the second-degree burns, which I'm guessing that's pretty awful. When you've got a second-degree burn on your scrot, there's not a lot of skin there, dude. And they're like, they have to get all this shit out of there in order to clean it, right? Like if you have rocks in a cut, they have to wash and scrape it out with a brush before they can like stitch it up. So they're like washing dye out of this guy's penis, which is burned because he stuck an exploding dye grenade device down his pants after stealing it from a bank.
Okay, I've worked at a bank.
Oh, yeah.
And I've caught counterfeiters before, people who would come in with fake money. And that's a nerve-wracking situation because crazy, you don't know how these people are going to behave, and you have to stall them while the police show up.
Did you have were you behind a bulletproof thing?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, wow.
No, we didn't have any.
So they could have, like, gone off.
Yeah, they could have.
Oh.
They didn't, but they could have. So I imagine that if someone actually is being aggressive and not just trying to slide something under the radar.
Yeah.
And says, I have a gun, give me your money. Like, that's not a cool situation. However, when you knowingly give that person an exploding package of some sort and they stuff it in the general vicinity of their package of some sort and walk out, I would like to be in that teller's shoes because you know they all just kind of looked at each other and crossed their fingers. A few of them probably followed him out the door down the street.
Did you motherfuckers see that? He stuffed the dye pack down the front of his pants. Oh, they're all high-fiving and stuff.
Yeah.
The best day of the teller's. You know they've wanted to do that to several customers. Weren't able to until they were robbed. I want to give the guy a little bit of respect for not coming in with like an empty duffel bag. So compared to some of the other bank robbers we've had on the show, this guy's like sort of a genius. Like,
because he's not giving it away.
It's not clearly obvious. If you walk out of a bank with money stuffed down your pants, it's maybe not super obvious that you just robbed the joint. Until your pants explode.
Until people see you walking out of the bank and are like, check out this dude's gunt. Like, what is wrong with this guy?
You're walking down the street, walking up to the bus stop. Guy's coming towards you with like a pair of those blue Adidas warm-ups on.
Mm-hmm.
What is going through your mind when someone's crotch spontaneously erupts and dye is shooting
everywhere? Explodes like purple.
What do you, like, I would pass out. Because I would think maybe they've been shot. I mean, I'm thinking like I have to give some kind of medical assistance.
Right.
But
right.
There's like paint everywhere. There's paint exploding out of this guy's junk. Like, there's no way I'd be able to figure out what happened.
Because this
guy's walking.
No.
His Johnson explodes, and then there's shredded money and paint everywhere. Like, what is the explanation? Like, how did this happen? Do you feel like your brain will just shut off? Because there's no, you know what I mean? Like something happens and you try to construct it in your mind. Like, oh, you found a guy in the street and he's got two broken legs. He must have got hit by a car, you know?
Right.
This dude.
There's a guy.
Screaming.
Holding his balls. Hopefully they're still there.
There's Benjamins.
There's money
and paint
ink
everywhere. And he's just. So good.
Tremendous.
So, from time to time, there are cases, sad cases, where the law enforcement isn't sure if a homicide was was this a murder or was it a suicide?
Right.
What happened? Because, like, it seems like maybe this guy blew his head off, but maybe somebody put the gun in his hand.
But the gun was in the other hand.
Right. Or
right.
Something weird. There was no gunshot residue on his hand or something
right.
like that. So this is one of those cases.
Okay.
Out of Australia. There was a Chinese guy who was killed, and they're trying to figure out if it was if it was suicide or murder.
Okay. So it's a gray
area. He was shot in the head and neck 34 times with a nail gun. Check out the X-ray on the links
page. Oh, yes!
There's an X-ray of this guy's head with 34 16 penny nails in it. I'm going murder.
How do you say Hellraiser in Chinese? Is there a word for that?
It's
Angel,
so,
how do you say Hellraiser
in
Chinese?
It's so sad, but it's so, like, if you're going to get your ass killed by somebody, like, shoot me in the head 34 times with a nail gun. Like, somebody needs some anger management. There's something going on here. That's a...
I have no words for that. Like,
have you heard about the guy who got shot in the head and
I'm
lived?
Upset by the police.
There was an actual story where a guy got shot in the head with a 3 1/4 inch nail gun.
Didn't he have it in there for like a while or something?
And he survived. Like, he was okay somehow. Mm-hmm. It didn't hurt anything important in his brain or whatever. But I don't think that was the case with this gentleman.
No, sorry, sir. I'm also sorry that you had to deal with. Well, you didn't really have to deal with the Australian police in that situation, but. I'm sorry for your family.
They weren't really wondering about the suicide. I made that part up.
Did you really?
Yes.
Well, what's
34 times, of course. How do you shoot yourself?
It's that's messed up, dude.
I just totally got you, dude.
It's that's messed up. I believe anything I hear on that's messed up.
The cops show up. There's a guy with 34 nails in his head, and they're like, looks like it could be a suicide.
Yeah, because this story is true.
You're right. You're right. The other stories sort of justify that could...
sort of justify?
This is so much better than...
Somebody made a cookbook whose main ingredient is human semen.
I can tell it's a good that's messed up when I almost throw up from laughing.
Oh, I feel taken advantage of.
Did it.
An employee at the Walmart in Great Falls, Montana.
Yes.
Faces felony theft charges for allegedly taking electronics from the store and posting the items for sale on the store's employee bulletin board.
I was hoping you were going to say that. I'm like, there's no way it's going there, but yes.
Remo Spencer was arrested Saturday at the Walmart after posting an ad on an employee bulletin board indicating that he had several iPods and computers for sale. A manager became suspicious and reviewed surveillance footage where he saw Remo committing said theft. Remo. Listen up, buddy. Okay?
Dude.
If you are going to steal something, it is the worst possible place. If there is one place in the world that this guy should not advertise that he has...
I think the only way this could be worse is if he walks over to the... I'm imagining this turn of events. He walks over to the glass case with the iPods in it, unlocks it with his employee key.
Yes.
Takes 3 iPods out.
Yes.
Walks across the aisle to the employee bulletin board and actually pins the iPods to the bulletin board with the sign that says, for sale, call Remo. Like, still in the packaging.
It's not even funny
it's
how close...
It's basically the same thing, right?
an equivalent, that is, to what actually happened. To this dumb ass.
Personally, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Did you hear there was a major theft the other day? Somebody stole 3 iPods and 3 laptops, brand new, in the boxes still, of course, because they were stolen.
Yeah, wait, that's really weird.
Yesterday, they were stolen.
I saw today in the break room, on the bulletin board, there's a for sale. Remo put up a sign because he has 3 iPods and 3... laptop computers, that's wow.
Here's the only redeeming thing about this story.
Okay.
Remo, who chose to not work at Walmart anymore, rather than simply resigning, gets himself fired, which I like, and doesn't actually burn himself alive in the parking lot.
That's true.
Rather than killing himself in order to get out of his Walmart job, which he no longer wants to have, he steals stuff. What if he did it on purpose? What if he was trying to get fired and this is an elaborate scheme of awesomeness?
If you are the type of person who gets fired from Walmart
You can't.
You're not operating on that plane. That's something else entirely.
I'm trying to help you out, Reams. Sorry, buddy.
It has come to the end of the show. Ben is doing the Beth dance. I'm sorry you can't see it. Well, you can. You can go to YouTube. You can see the Beth dance. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please tell a friend about the show. Yes. We're going to hit a media blitz here in the next couple months, and
yes.
we want listenership. More. Mas. We're greedy. Call the voicemail. There's a page dedicated to that. Tell us that's messed up. We're low on those. And a big shout out to Ray. We hope you feel better, dude. Even if you want to call up and send some well wishes Ben's way, Ben's dad's way, that would be lovely. Ben's going down to shelter, to Olympia, to the hospital to go see him.
O-Town.
We hope you get better, Big Ray.
That was show number 30. And that was the Grapes of Wrath.
Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
Gonna put it to the test. You wanted it to be blessed. And in your heart, you know it to be true. You know what you gotta do. They all depend on you. This will end.
I guess they sing the track.
Oh my god.
Whoa. Get out of here.
I swear.
Come on. Oh no.
Wow.
That's good.
Man.